But you know what I tell them is be the best. Be the best at what you do. People, you don't have to tell somebody you're good. They're going to see it. I don't need anybody to brag about themselves. I know who's doing good work. Because that's what I'm looking for. And so I think sometimes it's, and let people know the work you're doing. Don't hide it.
But wait, there is more. Yes, there is more, because you're going to hear me today as I drill down in asking these tough questions as far as when, where, how. All of this is going to be unpacked today as you listen to your delightful host, the great interviewer himself, the one who is able to drill deep and ask the right questions. Because not everybody can do this. Only your trained and extremely talented and delightful podcast host like myself can do. And that's why you're going to stay tuned, because you're going to get what it is you come from. Yes, my friend. Yes, my friend.
My friend, my friend, my friend. We get a street job.
Oh, yeah. So we are going to dig into that, and you're going to hear more of that. So stay tuned. Make sure that you're strapped in as we get ready for blast off. So here we go.
Welcome to the Kingsley Grant Show, the podcast dedicated to helping you become the leader everyone loves and wants to follow. Kingsley believes his leadership paradigm, Emotelligence, the art of succeeding where others failed, is the key to achieving this status. On this show, Kingsley guides you through the uncharted waters of emotional intelligence and leadership essentials, with the guarantee that upon exit, you will become more skilled in relationship management, decision-making, and job performance. Now here's your host, your coach, and your Sherpa, Kingsley Grant.
Here we go, here we go, here we go. This is your boy, Kingsley Grant, sitting behind the Jamaican microphone, bringing you yet another show. And it is from the show that's been voted number 3 on the top 15 podcasts on emotional intelligence by FeedSpot. And so I am excited that you are listening to one of the top shows right now. And I'm in the command center of the Emotelligent Leadership Institute, where I'm going to dig into the vault and get today's show so that what you've come for, you will have. So let me reach in right here and get today's show. There it is. I got it. And put it down right here. And now we can dive into today's show. And on today's show, we are going to bring up a topic that it's one I don't think that I have really covered, dug deep on this show before. And it's not because I did not want to do a show like this. It's just that the opportunity did not present itself. It has now, though, and that is speaking with the first female president of a university in the state of Florida, and she will share with you her parts of her ascendancy journey and how, as a female in a male-dominated space, right, the leadership, how she have managed to navigate that process, hold her own, and truly some remarkable things she's done, is doing, and you are going to hear what true leadership is looks like, especially in times of crisis, and we are in one with a pandemic. You're going to hear how she lays out a case for what that may look like, even in your own company, organization. So I don't want to say much more than that. You will hear from Dr. Martha Saunders as she kind of unpacks that topic for us. So I want you to make certain that you listen intently and hear her story. But before we get there, if this is your first time listening to the Kings of the Grand Show, a big thank you for joining us. It's about time, right? Yay, you're here. Great to have you. And make certain this is not your first and last, but your first of many, many visits. If this is your second, third, fourth, fifth, or umpteenth time, a big thank you from the bottom of my heart. You made this show what it is, and I do appreciate all that you've done. Thank you for those of you who have left ratings and reviews on the Apple podcast and elsewhere. I do appreciate that. And one last thing before we bring on our guests is that this show is being brought to you by Kingspire Communication, where we help leaders become better at decision making, relationship management, and work performance so that they can have a higher engagement, better retention, and higher productivity. How about that? If you're interested in finding out more, run over to Kingsley Grant, KingsleyGrant.com, and connect with us and see if we could work together and do a keynote training or coaching. Now, my friend, without any further ado, would you put your hands together and help me welcome to the show none other than Dr. Martha Saunders. Thank you for joining me on the Kings of Grand Show, where emotional intelligence and leadership skills intersect. This show is designed for leaders who want to know what works and what doesn't work in today's workplace. Today, we have a special guest on the show. Her name is Dr. Martha Saunders. Let me tell you a few things about Dr. Martha, and we'll fill in the rest as we go. Dr. Martha Saunders has held leadership roles in higher education for nearly 35 years. She was the first woman chancellor at the University of Wisconsin, Whitewater, and the first woman president at the University of Southern Mississippi. She assumed the presidency of the University of West Florida in 2017. Her contributions in the field of communication led to numerous publications on crisis communication and public relations and two Silver Anvil Awards, the Public Relations Society of America's highest honor. She is a 2011 national winner of the Stevie Award for Women in Business. Dr. Martha, thank you for being here. How are you doing today?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Great having you. And so, Dr. Martha, the question I ask all my guests is, where in the world is Dr. Martha today?
Well, at this very moment, I am in my office in Pensacola, Florida, and looking out at the nature trail, but it's a rainy day, so there aren't so many people walking on it right now.
Okay. So if a person came to Pensacola area, what would be a must see or a must do and a must taste that you would recommend?
Well, they must go to our beach, which they are the most beautiful beaches in the world. Beautiful, beautiful, soft, very bright white sand. Eat all of our local seafood. But the people around here would say, don't leave without eating red snapper.
Ooh, that sounds wonderful, especially at this time of year. So that's great. And, you know, I'm from Jamaica originally, Dr. Martha. So I, you know, when it comes to seacoast and fish and seafood, I mean, I love that stuff. So you just have me right there going right now. Let me just kind of bring myself back in and take a deep breath. So I'm okay now. So, Dr. Martha, I mean, you have been in leadership for quite some time. And again, congratulations on your achievements in this area. So I would wonder, when you hear the word leader and leadership, what comes to your mind?
You know, these days, in a lot of ways, it's an overused word. You know, we have leadership courses and leadership seminars and leadership this and leadership that. But I think it is, if I had to describe it in one word, it would be wisdom. If a person is recognized as a leader, it is because that person has accumulated and demonstrated a wisdom and in that area and is trusted.
Wow.
And so I think those are two areas that when I think of it, if someone is a true leader, they are wise. And if they are a true leader, they are trusted.
You know, which begs the question that when someone would say leaders are born that way or be leaders are, you know, developed, when you mention the word wisdom and trusted, those two seem to be things that you have to gain over time. So what's your thoughts on that when people would have that debate sometimes?
Well, I think, you know, many people just have a predisposition for leadership that we are, you know, don't mind making decisions, don't mind being in front of the crowd. But when you think of some of the leaders, you know, historically, some of the best have been reluctant leaders. Look at Moses in the Bible. He did not want to do that. and yet was called to do the work. And I think sometimes some of the best leaders don't set out to do that. It falls to them to be that person at that time. And so, but again, I do think it's easier for some people than others.
Did you find growing up that people would say to you, you know, that there's something about you that somehow leans toward leadership and any of your journey, and if so, where and when?
You know, I remember running into a girlfriend that we grew up together, you know, so we played in the neighborhood together, and she was remembering, she said, "You always said you had to be the president of whatever club. You said you wanted to be," and I don't remember that. But, you know, I was going to be involved and I was going to be in charge. And so I think that, you know, again, some of us maybe relish the role more than others. But
apparently you did a good enough job for her to even that just stands out in her mind to recollect, you know, the fact that you wanted to be the president. And of course, you know, fulfilled because it became the president of a university. So some people do have that along the way where they have this knack where people would kind of tell them that, yes, you know, you like yourself, or, you know, they could see a leadership role in them. They tend to take charge and tend to run the, you know, the group whenever given an opportunity. And yet some people are reluctant in that area. But you mentioned, and I want to go back to the two words you mentioned, wisdom and trusted. What would you say why trust is such a very important part of leadership, especially in our world today?
Well, in any leadership role, you are affecting the lives of other people. And you're often making decisions that they don't get to make, you make, and you make them on their behalf. And so it's really important that the people you lead or you're entrusted to look after believe that you are doing, you're making the best decisions you can on their behalf. You know, we talk a lot about crisis and, you know, certainly we're in a dynamic environment now, but what I have to always remember is that the center of any crisis is one person in crisis, you know, at the center of it all, there are individuals, you know, human people that are dependent on the right decisions. And that's if people do trust you to be doing the best you can on their behalf, that does not mean you're going to always make the right decisions. But to be doing the best you can on their behalf and then being very quick to say, well, that didn't work. Let's try something else. And not be so proud that, you know, that you can't admit that you failed.
You know, I love that because I was going to follow up with that very same question to wonder. So the person is making the best, do the best job they can and may make bad decisions sometimes. And but does that mean that then the leadership role, that doesn't disqualify them? So I like the fact that you mentioned that, yeah, admit when something didn't go right and what may have happened. So I think the idea of a leader constantly communicating and constantly being there in a very trusted role environment is very helpful. You also mentioned something that I think is so key, where the fact that to remember that you're leading people, that's really a critical piece of it. And your people who are looking to you and want to be treated in a very respectful and very valued way. So why would you mention that? What is so significant about that in your experience and what you've seen in different roles you have held?
Well, certainly in the more, you know, the more complex the organization, the leader is more removed mm-hmm. from the people, the rank and file, the folks in the trenches that are doing the work. And so I think it's just really important that the leader get out of her office every now and then and really try to understand what's happening. You know, one of the first things I ask anybody that comes in my office is, hey, what do you know? What are you hearing? Not to gossip so much, but just it's always surprising what people are hearing. And sometimes anytime I have a meeting with a large group, I say, all right, it's time for rumor control. Ah. You know, tell me what you, you know, and there's some weird stuff out there sometimes. And but it does, it helps us understand, you know, the pulse, mm-hmm. keep a finger to the pulse of the place. And I have often had occasions where, you know, you don't do this work as long as I have and not make decisions that people don't agree with. Right. And I do try to be very clear on how I came to that decision. Mm. Here was the array of information in front of me. Here is how I arrived at it. And if you were sitting where I am, you might have done it differently. But I'm the one that had to make the call. Here's why I made the call. And here's why we're doing what we're doing. So,
you know, I love that. I love the piece you mentioned about the idea of trying to get the pulse of what's happening. And, you know, yes, people are on the front line. And that's where I think the wisdom comes in, because it's only a wise leader would say, hey, you know what, my role allow me to be removed from the front lines per se, but then I can have people who can become my heirs and my feet who can help me make better decisions and know what's happening. And I think that is so important, where some leaders fail to do that. And so they don't even know what's out there, and the whole company or organization might be falling apart under their feet, and they don't even realize that because people are revolting or leaving and stuff. And you have no idea what you could do differently. So I wonder, where did you, what would you say, who would be the person that you would say, if you were to give a trophy to have, who kind of helped shape your ideals or influence you as a leader, that you would say, you know, this person, if I was to give a trophy for the most influential leader in my life, this would be that person. It could be someone close, family member, or someone else.
Yeah, well, there's so many that I've admired, but I'd have to start with my mother. And, you know, in any classic sense, she was not, you know, she was not a manager. She was a registered nurse. And she was a nurse during a time before ICUs. And so if you were really sick, you had, they call it round-the-clock nurses. Mm-hmm. And so when she would take a case, she would stay with that patient 7 days a week for as long as the patient needed her. And so after I grew up, I had so many doctors tell me how they trusted her instincts. He said she knew her patients. Wow. And her intuition was so good because she knew them. And I think that was, you know, the lesson I took from her. And she used to say, usually when she was lecturing me about something, Martha, I know people. I know people. And I think, but that stayed. You've got to know people, and you've got to understand that we're all not that different. You know, we want to be happy. We want to have, everybody wants about 10% more than they have. You know, we all want a little more. And so you kind of got to know that and be, and know who you're dealing with.
You know, I think I gave a talk one time, and one of the emphasis on my talk was get to know your people, because people, you know, like, and trust factor is so key. And the more you know them or know of them and know who it is that you're serving, because you're the leader, you're serving these people. And when, you know, in my book, I talk about leadership is stewardship, that it's a, you only have limited time. You don't have for all eternity. So you have a short time to make an influence and really leave a legacy. So it's a remember you're there for that period of time to steward as best as you can these individuals. And in that way, what I'm hearing you're saying is, what I love what your mom passed on, that they would say about her, she knew those that she was serving. And that is so key, I believe, to leadership. But I find leaders are so busy nowadays, right, that they don't really take the time to do that. So even in the area of women in leadership, because a woman has so many roles sometimes, a mom, a wife, you know, a leadership in a role like yours and so on. How does a woman, what's the difference about that when she has to take, wear so many hats, right? Whereas that makes it kind of a challenging or easier. I'm not sure what you would describe it as.
Well, I think it is. And I think women still bear the heavier burden in, you know, in family matters and childcare. I think it's, you know, you don't have to study very hard to know that. And so one of the things, and I a lot of times students will ask me, did you want to be a president when you were in college? And I said, or did you think about it? And I said, no, because they didn't make women presidents of anything when I was in college. And so, you know, but I was one for opportunities. And if the door opened, I was probably going to run through it. And I had a lot of encouragers there. And so that's what I try to do. But I hear so often, you know, my young faculty, they'll say, you know, tell, you know, about work-life balance. And my answer is, I don't know what that is. But I think there is, you know, if you are fortunate enough to have, you know, to have a partner or a spouse, there, it's a tag team, yeah. You know, and especially in a two-career family, there's a time where one's going to move forward and one might need to stay behind and take care of the kids. And then it's not, you're never going to move in exactly the same pace. And so, if you're fortunate enough to have that kind of support structure or families that can help you, but it's not an even pace. You're going to surge, and then you're probably going to plateau a little while. Then you're going to surge, and you're going to plateau a little while. And be okay with that. You know, don't be too impatient. I never had a 5-year plan. You know, most days I don't have a 5-minute plan. But I was looking for opportunities, and when they popped up, I recognized them and ran through.
Which is, I think, is really the key part, is to be able to know that moment, because that window that opens up, and then to go through that window, because the opportunity may knock once, and if you don't get it then what happens, right? Do you find that it's more challenging being a woman in leadership, especially at the height of of your position, than it is for men?
If you had asked me that 5 years ago, I would have said no. And now I'm saying no, it really is harder. and maybe I just know more, I've seen more since then. I am the only woman president of the state university system. There are 12 universities in Florida. There's one woman. And it's not that I'm treated shabbily, but I think it is sometimes harder to be heard. Part of it is just, you know, it's interesting. It's just a physical thing. Yeah. If you're in a room full of people, you're going to see that tall guy, you know, maybe with that shock of white hair. Right. And you're not going to see this 5'4 person. I mean, just visually. Yeah, and so you have to kind of, some of that's just finding ways to be heard that don't sound like you're screeching at folks, but that you're saying. And I think that part of that comes from being wise, and when you give advice, it is the right thing to say. So
I mean, and I think I appreciate that answer, because I think it's really helpful for all the women who are trying to get into leadership or in leadership who are struggling with this very thing and wonder, do I have to shout louder? Do I have to actually do something, stand on my head, so to speak, to get heard? And they find it very difficult, especially dealing with their, in the upper echelons, who may not be women, and they find, like, you know, they may not, they have to push harder because they're not being heard or seen, because of just, it's just unfortunate, but that's how it is, right? So I'm hearing you were saying, though, is using wisdom along the way, but experience have taught you. But I find some of the people I work with, Dr. Martha, who are younger, and they just feel as if, well, you know, they have all the right answers, and they have two challenges. Number one, they're early in the game of leadership. And number two, they are women. And so they have to kind of get past that. What would you say to that person who is in that place right now, who probably feels the way I'm describing?
Well, and I hear that a lot from folks, too. How do I get heard? How do I, you know, and I mean, you have to watch a lot of reality TV to see people just shouting over each other. And, you know, I'm a little Southern girl. That's just rude. You know, and so it's hard for me. And I do have the bully pulpit as president, but it's still hard for me to stand up and shout and wave my arms around. So, but you know what I tell them is, be the best, be the best at what you do. People, you don't have to tell somebody you're good. They're going to see it. I don't need anybody to brag about themselves. I know who's doing good work because that's what I'm looking for. And so I think sometimes it's and let people know the work you're doing. Don't hide it, you know. But you know, do your job well, whatever your job is, and leadership in any organization is looking for talent. Mm-hmm. We're all looking for talent. We're competing with each other for talent. And if I can find that talent right here on my campus and not have to go out for a search, that's what I want.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. I think it was Steve Martin who says, be so good they can't ignore you. Something along that line he would say, you know, being so good at what you do, they just can't ignore you, which I'm hearing you also echoing that thought. So I think that what I find, Dr. Martha, and you have written about this in different ways, and of course management, especially now in our pandemic, and we have these things are just so, we don't have a normal anymore per se. And for some people, it's a crisis because they are just really don't know what's happening, right? So how do you manage times like these? Because some of my leaders are, people I speak to, are challenged by this. They've never been here before and haven't had the years of experience behind them. They're in a quandary because people don't know what to do. What might be some things, one, two, or three things you may say to that person to help them understand this may be what you might want to look at or think about in managing this time of the season you're in?
I think, at least in our campus and in our situation, it's been very important that I get out there and talk to people. Now, that has to be through social media, but I'm on campus a lot. We're shooting videos. And I'm saying, okay, I'm standing over here by this building. Y'all remember this building, don't you? You know, and here's what's happening here. I've been trying to highlight examples of people who are coping brilliantly. And I say, let me tell you about what they're doing over here in this department. And then we flip over. And so what I hope is they see me as a constant at a time when there's not a lot of constancy. and then I'm pointing to good examples of things that would inspire them. So I think it's stepping up the communication because people do want to, and they need to see, they don't want to see a ghost town. They want to see the president doing business, maybe in a little different way, but still still making it happen. So I would really encourage that. One of the things I've had to keep reminding folks is, let's all go back to the mission statement. You know, we are here to provide high quality undergraduate and graduate education. And we will continue to do that until we can do it no more. We may do it differently. We may have to, you know, find some new strategies, but that's why we're here. And we have to do it in a quality way, or what's the point?
Yeah.
And I think just keeping it simple, keep it very simple. Let's not forget why we're here. Here is our mission. We're going to keep doing our mission. And here's some examples of people that are doing it really well. And then, you know, but I think the president or the leadership needs to be constant. And I'm so really proud. We're going to all be on a stretcher when this is over. It's just nobody's had a day off. but my team, my executive team they've been such powerful examples of staying with it and looking after their own flock. And they're looking after their people, and I'm looking after them, and we've linked arms here. And I think some wonderful memories have been made. You know, sometimes in the worst situations, you learn the best about people.
You know, I love the fact that, which I think is so, so important in times of crisis, is try to best as possible, like you said, to present, you know, that there is, because sometimes people, when they hear crisis, and their the worst case scenario comes to their mind, and they're hearing, they're seeing, and sometimes not having positive kind of news per se also kind of cause them to be more disillusioned about everything, and life is all falling apart. So I like the fact you mentioned, be present, get out there and try to show some positive things that are happening. Be the constant. I think it's so important as a leader, and try your best to, as best as possible, I'm hearing, to normalize life, that is not all as terrible as you might be thinking and hearing. So I love the fact that you're out there doing that, because I think, you know, you're leading by example. You're modeling that. And people are more like apt to, I believe, want to rally around you. Why I figure you have a great team at the University of West Florida, because people are seeing that kind of leadership. You are a people person. You're being present. You're being constant. Why would they not want to be around you? So I commend you for that. But the second thing you mentioned, Dr. Martha, which I think is so great, is the fact that remember the mission statement. You know, because I think it's so key that we can get so many different things that are pulling at us, and we forget why we're here. So I think I really appreciate that piece, because I think sometimes leaders forget, you know, this is one thing that brought us here. It will bring us through this moment. It's not here. It's not permanent. We're going to make it through. And I love the fact that you're doing that. So you mentioned about your school, because I think the team that you have around you sound to be, you know, because you are the one who helped put the team together. There's no question about that. So I would want to come to your school, because I think that, you know, hey, the president is this personable person who's out there and speaking so well about the school. What might be some other things a person may want to consider when they think about the University of West Florida?
Well, we are in, like I said, a beautiful part of the state. And so as far as just place matters, it is a lovely town, very historic. So there, it's almost like a walking textbook to walk around Pensacola, because we have layers upon layers of history. So being in this place is good. The university, by many standards, we would be a mid-sized university. We have about 13,000 students. But by Florida standards, we're little. You know, Florida has these beasts, you know, 40, 50, 60 thousand student. And so we, you know, in some ways you get a private school feel here. We're known for our small classes, and we are also known for, we don't stop, our work doesn't stop when you get that diploma. We're always looking for the good handoff. It's important to me, and I think it's important to everyone here, that the student, that diploma is just the next step to get them to someplace even better. We want to open those doors for them, and we do. You know, we want to connect them to bigger things. And so I think that that's one, it's very much a part of the culture here. We are over here on the westernmost city. That's a little bit about Pensacola. Our mayor calls it the Western Gate to the Sunshine State. So we're 20 miles from the Alabama line. Oh. When you think of the panhandle, we're also the only university in Central Time. Everybody else in Florida is on Eastern Time. Okay. We're in Central Time. And so a lot of times there is a very much a frontier spirit here because we're sort of on our own, you know, we're an hour behind. But it permeates the place. We're 52 years old. We're not the oldest. We're certainly not the biggest. We're not the richest, but we are the most agile. And that agility and that, I think people feel, I hope, and I believe they do feel empowered to say, let's try something different. And those new ideas are appreciated. So there's a real sort of a frontier, maybe entrepreneurial spirit. And I think our agility, that is our competitive advantage. Oh, wow. And
which I think is so important, especially in our world today, changing so rapidly. Agility is one of the key components for success, I believe, right? Because we don't have a straight line anymore. We never had anyways, up and down, zigzag, zigzag. And so if as you're listening today and you wanted to know more about the school that, you know, we just heard, the picture paint is so wonderful. And I'm telling you, I've been to Pensacola. It's beautiful. I would just put my second, you know, I'll say, yes, the beautiful place. And so you're not just hearing a story being made up. And as Dr. Martha shared, you can actually go to uwf.edu, uwf.edu, and you can get more information there. But also, if you wanted to see something of what Dr. Martha is doing and you're on Facebook, you may want to connect with her at Dr. That's DRMD Saunders, DRMD SAUNDERS of Facebook.com. And you will see this person I'm speaking to. Basically, you know, she shared, and you may see parts of the video, but you will also see what she is describing as why she is so, when she met the school, and she speaks so well. Such a highlight, really. She highlighted great things, but it's not just a highlight moment. You can see the whole school yourself. So again, uwf.edu. And on Facebook, you can actually follow her at DRMD Saunders, S-A-U-N-D-E-R-S. Dr. Martha, I really appreciate your time. I know you're a very busy lady and so on. I want to say thank you so very much. And if there's one thing you want to leave with us that I may not have covered or asked a question that you thought maybe, and as wrap things up here before say our goodbyes, what might that be, if any?
Well, I think I will tell you what I tell the graduates every time we have commencement, and that is take the education we have given you and make it count. I think wherever you are and whatever you have before you, make it count, and you'll be fine.
So, my friends, as you listen today on the Kinsley Grant Show, take this interview and make it count. That's the story that we want you to have. So, again, Dr. Martha, thank you so very much for your time and just for sharing so candid and so, you know, very transparent, very, you know, it felt like I can know you in how you're just speaking about these things. And so real, and I appreciate this about you taking this time for us to hear on this interview.
It's my pleasure. Come see us and come eat some red snapper.
That exactly right, and I'll be able to talk about the red snapper in Pensacola. So I'll be there, and I'll invite you to lunch. We can have red snapper together.
I'd love that. Thank you.
And there you have it. My friend, I hope today, as you listened to Dr. Martha, you really had some insights and helpful, practical information, suggestions, advice given to you that you can really implement in your leadership within your company, your organization, your team, wherever you find yourself, especially if you are a female in a male-dominated industry, I hope that you were encouraged and inspired and empowered by what Dr. Martha shared. Now, if you, like me, is not a female, you also get some very helpful information from someone who have really done a marvelous job in how she presented, how she have navigated, how she have risen to the place where she is and how she got there. All of that which she shared, you can hear in her voice. And if you're interested in a university, make sure you check out what she suggested as a place in Pensacola, which you want to go and find out more about. The links that you've heard mentioned will be in the notes that follow the show. And if you, not if, but when you see this post on any social media platform, would you take some time to leave a comment so that Dr. Martha can hear what it is your thoughts were on this episode? But also, if you have a question, make sure you cast your question there, and we'll make certain that Dr. Martha gets the question and possibly respond to that question for you. So, my friend, I really, again, thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. And we need to now put the show back into the vault, as you know. So here we go. Let's put the show back into the vault. Here we go. There it is. Now that the show is safely tucked away into the vault, I can safely make my exit from the command center of the Emotelligent Leadership Institute, from the command center. And I can now say my goodbye. So with that said, my friend, peace out. God bless. And I'll see you on the flip side. Yeah.